Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all in here, worshiping together in this beautiful sanctuary. I pray that we will all open to the movement of the Holy Spirit working within us and among us, that we may be touched by His presence and be empowered as we worship together. A mother and her young son lived in a quiet forest. One day, a tornado tore through. She grabbed onto the tree and tried to hold her son, but the wind yanked him into the sky like a balloon on a bad string. Desperate, she dropped to her knees and cried out, "Lord, please bring back my boy. He's all I have. Take anything, my dishwasher, my car, and even my home. Just bring him back." Suddenly, thud, the boy fell from the sky, landing right at her feet. A little dusty, a little dazed, but otherwise fine. The mother stared in awe, pulled him into a hug, then held him at arm's length. She paused, looked up at the sky, and said, "He was wearing a hat, Lord." Humanity owes much to motherhood. A mother's love holds families together powerfully. Mothers are the foundation of trust, emotional security, and self-worth, all of which develop during early childhood. They are the first teachers shaping children's value system and understanding of the world. They influence their children to be selfless toward others. Without the love and sacrifice of mothers, the world can be a very dry and uncompassionate place. Both as children and parents, we all have experienced that children do not fully comprehend their mother's greatness, who they have become, and what they have achieved are deeply connected to their mother's love. Let's look at our faith from this angle. Our blessed life and privileged relationship with Jesus are not the product of our intelligence or efforts. Our faith is attributed to God, who works behind the scenes to open our eyes so that we can understand who God is. However, having faith in God is not an easy feat. The Bible is filled with testimonies that do not appeal to human intelligence. The resurrection of Jesus is one of many examples that does not make sense. It was why the followers of Jesus disbelieved the news of resurrection in Mark 16. Three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, went to the tomb on early Easter morning. They were the most devout followers of Jesus, as they were the first among all the other followers to go to the tomb after the resurrection. Did those devout women expect the resurrection? No. They went to the tomb to embalm the dead body of Jesus. In their wildest dreams, they never expected the resurrection. So their major concern that morning was who would roll the stone entrance away for them. When they saw an angel inside the tomb, they were alarmed. Verse 8 details the conditions of their minds and bodies after hearing the news of resurrection. Verse 8 says, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." The verse explicitly describes that they were utterly shocked and show typical symptoms of it. We can easily assume that their bodies and mind enter a state of physiological and emotional disarray, characterized by a rapid heart rate, shallow breathing, and an overwhelmed state. How about the disciples? Verse 9 states that the disciples were mourning and weeping on Easter morning. When Mary Magdalene told them she had met the risen Christ, they did not believe her. Two disciples returned from Emmaus and reported their encounter with Jesus, but they still didn't believe them. Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples and rebuked them for their lack of faith and stubborn refusal to believe. All these reactions showed no hint of joy at the resurrection. Instead, they were utterly shocked and persistently refused to believe. Why did they not believe? Their reasoning was straightforward. The resurrection made no sense to them, to the extent that they ignored the testimonies of eyewitnesses. Christians in the Corinthian church had a hard time believing in the resurrection as well. The Apostle Paul spent the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 proving the resurrection. This issue of the resurrection is not only one that has perplexed people. Consider the entire Bible. Much of what is written in the Bible does not align with human reasoning, starting from creation, the fall of humanity, Noah's flood, the plagues before the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, water from the splitted rock, piling of the Jordan River, the sudden fall of the wall of Jericho, Samson's hair, fire from heaven consuming the altar Elijah built, writing on the wall, and skipping to the New Testament, the virgin birth of Jesus, Jesus turning water into wine, healing sick people, feeding thousands with a small lunch, Jesus raising the dead, his ascension into heaven, and his second coming. None of these events make sense. Therefore, people like Thomas Jefferson argued that the Bible should be rewritten, and he did. Jefferson was a deist who believed in God but rejected the supernatural and other aspects of traditional Christian doctrine. So he wrote The Life and Work of Jesus Nazareth, deliberately omitting miracles and other supernatural event by literally cutting and pasting passages from the Bible. He complied only Jesus' moral teachings. Many Christians today are deists like Jefferson. Furthermore, the message of salvation exclusively through Jesus does not make sense. Therefore, many Christians, including the late Pope Francis, claim that all religions are path to God, which contradicts what the Bible states. We share the same human understanding with those devout believers who were skeptical about the resurrection. Just imagine, if we were there in Jerusalem on the first Easter, would we have reacted differently from those devout followers? Probably not. However, even though we share the same nature with them, we do believe that what is written in the Bible is true. We do believe in the miracles and the resurrection. How have we acquired such a faith that contradicts human reasoning? Jesus answered the question. Peter's confession of Jesus as Christ was not something Peter's intellectual capacity enabled him to do so. Rather, God revealed that Jesus was Christ to Peter. Our faith in Jesus is not our own production, but the result of God's grace bestowed upon us. Only because God, in His grace, shows His truth to us, everything in the Bible makes perfect sense. Without God's grace, we would have become non-believers. We would be out of our mind to believe in nonsenses written in the Bible. God chose us individually in His providence to reveal that Jesus is the Lord. The Apostle Paul affirms this in Ephesians 2 and said, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. This is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." You may have heard of this tragic event happened right around our neighborhood. About 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, James Lawson of Running Spring left home to apply for a job. About an hour later, his 36-year-old wife, Patsy, left for the fifth grade teaching job down the mountain in Riverside, accompanied by her two children, 5-year-old Susan and 2-year-old Gerald, to be dropped up at the babysitters. Unfortunately, they never got that far. 8.5 hours later, the man found his wife and daughter dead in their wrecked car, upside down in a cold mountain stream. His 2-year-old son was just barely alive in the 48-degree water. But in that death, the character of a mother was revealed in a most dramatic and heart-rending way. For when the father scrambled down the cliff to what he was sure were the cries of his dying wife, he found her locked in death, holding her little boy's head just above water in the submerged car. For 8.5 hours, Patsy Lawson had held her beloved toddler afloat and had finally died, her body almost frozen in death, in that position of self-giving love, holding her baby up to breathe. She died that her son might live. And that's the essence of mother's love. The baby boy was too young to understand the great sacrifice of his mom. He was too young to take any action for survival, but his mom acted on his behalf. The mother exemplifies the love of Jesus and how we are saved. Jesus loved us and chose us first before we took any actions to believe. God's grace opened our hearts and minds, enabling us to believe and understand Jesus and His love. All of us worshiping together this morning are chosen and privileged, and I'm privileged to serve you. Let us always be mindful that it is by God's grace we are saved. And let us continue to cherish our life in Jesus. Amen.